Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. I'm Catherine, and I'm joined as always with my co-host Ellie.
Hello, hello.
And she's been ready for beddy for 3 hours now, but she's still hanging on. Alice is here.
Good evening, I guess.
It's nighttime. It's Alice's nighttime. But we are talking about season 2, episode 8, Rose, which first aired on the 4th of November 2010. The episode was written by Brian Young and directed by Liz Friedlander, both of who are returning to the show. Guys, it's Elena. Damon and Stefan rush to Elena's aid to save her from mysterious vampires who have kidnapped her because it's Elena. Bonnie and Jeremy grow closer as she uses her powers to help save Elena, because it's Elena. And Caroline helps newbie werewolf Tyler find his feet because she can.
Honestly, I wish I'd kept track of the number of times they said, but it's Elena in this episode alone.
I think 3 times.
It's definitely, I've got 3 down, so it's definitely at least 3. Yeah.
It's also just like so weird. The conversation's done between two brothers who are like so accepting of the fact that they're in love with the same woman.
Oh my God. So matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's just like, we can get onto it, but like it's the bit in the car ride where Stefan's like, are you coming with me because you want to help your little brother like save the girl he loves? Or like, are you in love with her too? And
it's so like, weird.
What? So weird.
Did we like this episode?
I mean, it has Elijah in it, so I have to say yes.
My exact
but
answer.
It was nothing on, it's nothing on, it's not Masquerade, it's no Masquerade, but Elijah. So yeah, I do like it.
And Rose, to be fair.
Yeah, look, I agree, like, it's not quite like the big fanfare that the last one was, but it's never going to be, because that was like a culmination of like the all of season 2 so far. But I think it was amazing. I think what an introduction to Eliza. Incredible, and a great setup for the rest of the series.
So good.
Yeah.
I also think they keep the mystery really alive even in this episode. Like, I think you are afraid to see this Elijah, like, as the viewer you're kind of like, oh, what's happening, what's the story behind this? It kind of introduces new mystery without it seeming over the top. Like, they're just kind of, it's not like they're, I think, trying to spoon feed as much as they have, but still introduce like some new plot lines, new characters.
I think it's the first time you've ever seen like vampires like genuinely scared of something. Which is like you say, Catherine, like the build up for Elijah, where Trevor and Rose are just like, Trevor in particular is terrified, and they've been running for, they say, 500 years. And it's just like, who are they running from? Why are they running? And bringing like so much history to it. And like we said last time, it really links to what they're looking for, because it's all about the sun and the moon curse, and it's all about the moonstone, and it's all about the doppelganger, and it really, everything together, that there's something worse than Catherine that's looking for this moonstone.
So we ended last episode on like a big cliffhanger. A cliffhanger we've had many times before was that Elena's been kidnapped, and we see kind of, we open with like her kidnapping, and we get some lovely product placement for Ford cars, because Elena arrives in the boot of one car, and then the car that's picking her up is also a Ford car, and they make sure to show you the make of both of them. There's a clear shot of each one. So I hope someone was paid.
Why are people always kidnapped in black SUVs? Is this, I feel like every single movie, everyone who's kidnapped is kidnapped in a black SUV. Like, surely at this point you should drive a little old Beetle down the road, because you're less likely to be like,
she wouldn't fit in the boot.
She might, she's little.
She's tiny, but is she short?
I don't think she's too short.
No, I assume she's tall, but she could roll up quite nicely.
She could fold up. I think people tend to want to put them in the boot in case other people look in. I don't think it's like a space issue. He didn't like have like someone else in the back seat.
I'm just still going for, she'll roll up quite nicely.
She'll roll up like a little sushi roll.
I also love, like, and I guess it does happen a lot with the kidnappers, but we've never heard of these people before. We don't know who Trevor is. For a while as well, you don't know if he's a vampire. Like, has he been compelled? And then he just, like, kills the other guy.
Yep.
They also don't have daylight rings.
Yes. We've had lots of conversations, probably more than most, actually, about how vampires move around. now I think about it, actually, compared to the wider world, we've had lots of conversations.
So many conversations.
About how vampires move around in the sun. So he is still out and about. He is just wearing a cap and sunglasses and, like, is trying to just stay in the shade. So this, to me, implies that my umbrella theory holds water, that they could just be under an umbrella.
Because he's wearing gloves, and I think he has gloves to grab him. So, yeah.
Yeah. I also think because when Caroline was in the hospital, it was quite a thin curtain and she was fine behind the curtain. So I feel like even if they wore a space suit or something, they'd probably be okay as long as they were head to toe in clothes.
A morph suit.
Yeah, morph suit. That's the one.
I think every vampire universe is hard and fast on this rule because, like, in Buffy, Spike can walk around under a blanket and the blanket's on fire, but he's fine. Like
in Twilight, they just stopped sparkling in some of the movies.
Yeah, I should know. We're both rewatching them, but with different people. Hard and fast.
So while Elena's being kidnapped, we have our little scene with Damon and Caroline, which I really liked until I absolutely hated. So Caroline's like keeping him up to speed that Tyler's now a werewolf.
Yeah, and I was like, it is wild how okay she seems to be with the fact that, like, two people have just been murdered. She's like, oh, my mum's leading a search, they still haven't found Amy's body, like, all of this stuff. And
and Damon's quips about it are awful, like, oh, awful teens and their underage drinking, and the thing about giving Liz a heads up that Amy's body's at the bottom of a ravine. And he's just so, like, callous about it, because I guess in season one he was the murderer himself. So,
and I find it really weird with their dynamic, because the writers are clearly, like, pushing Elena and Damon, or, like, there's something redeemable about Damon, but I don't think they ever let us forget the Caroline Damon dynamic. Like, Caroline goes to being, like, terrified of Damon very quickly at the end, and it does really, like, pull me back to their abusive relationship. And I think it's a weird thing to do if you're trying to make Damon a redeemable person and a love interest. Obviously not for Caroline, but, like,
because he threatens her. I think you are right, they don't want us to forget it, but, and I think this is a big problem with the show in general, the writers in the show doesn't recognize how bad the situation was. They kind of play it off, it was just Damon being Damon, or, like, he was, like, a bit aggressive with her. As we said at the time, he was raping her. He was an abusive boyfriend, an abusive partner who literally, like, is, like, a rapist. And so because they don't recognize that in the show, and they largely just ignore all consent issues, they're not trying to make us think Damon's that bad. We're just trying to still remember, oh, he's a bit of a bad boy.
Mm. Yeah.
But it hasn't aged well.
Very different from the vibe we actually get.
Yeah. Okay. But up until, like, he kind of turns, I did like how Caroline was kind of, like, balancing, like, a vampire with being a teen girl, and she was like, I've got to get to school, I'm gonna be late. She was, like, packing her school bag, and I was like, oh, what a babe.
I just think when she does get to school, I am never a Tyler fan, to be completely honest. Like, I do agree with what you've said previously, Catherine, of, like, he has more to do, he's better than Matt, not, like, he's a more interesting character, but, like, this whole episode, my heart, like, really felt for Tyler. Like, he is completely alone, and, like, he thinks Caroline can help him, and she's just, like, pushing him away because obviously she thinks it's safer for her, but, like, he's just killed someone, he doesn't know where his uncle is, he's gonna turn into a wolf at a full moon, and he knows it's, like, a horrific experience. Like, he's gone through a rough time.
Yeah, and I also feel like Caroline denying it when Tyler knows it's true is so frustrating. Like, I can imagine being in that situation and being like, no, something happened, and she's pretending it didn't. And I get why, like, she's been threatened by Damon, she also knows the risks involved, but it is really tough for Tyler, and he's kind of, like, figuring this out all on his own, which I think it's almost fair enough when he breaks into the sheriff's house to confront Carolina.
I wrote Gaslight Gatekeep Girl Boss, which is Caroline's day today.
Yeah.
But also, like, Tyler at school, at one point I was thinking, surely just tell him, because like he's gonna expose everyone. He's kicking these trash cans and there's a massive dent in it that's like flying across the school parking lot, and it's like, maybe just be like, let's keep this under wraps, which I know she does at the end, but like, it doesn't do them any favors that he's freaking the hell out.
Also, one thing I did enjoy was his outrage that Caroline was stronger than him. Like, he was like, you're stronger than me? Like, what an insult to Tyler and his literal personality.
Well, this is the thing. Neither of them are being subtle. Like, you're right, Ellie, he is kicking a trash can across the whole thing. But she, like, he at one point, I can't remember, he like grabs her maybe, and she like flips him and pulls his arm behind his back and basically like takes him down kind of in front of everyone. So she's not being like that subtle herself.
No, and it's weird, like you've seen her in the last episode like full Catherine of all people, and yet she can't lie to Tyler. But I think that also shows a bit of who she is as a person. Like, she's clearly compassionate about Tyler and she's struggling with the lie, whereas with Catherine she doesn't care.
I was thinking it's interesting when, like, kind of at the end and they're talking about it and they're talking about, like, the similarities and differences. Oh, like, did you get, I feel really hot. No, I didn't get that. Oh, my emotion's really heightened. I get that. And it's kind of interesting to see sort of the parallels and differences that I think will get explored.
Okay.
Further.
Right. In this, Tyler says he runs hot because he's a werewolf. Twilight, mm-hmm. Werewolves are warm. Is this a thing? Or are they just doing what Twilight's doing? And then why isn't he like, I'm really warm like that book Twilight?
I was thinking the exact same thing, because they've referenced Team Edward and Jacob t-shirts, Damon's mm-hmm. red Twilight in Catherine's room, like Catherine's room, Caroline's room, and it's like, yeah, they know they exist. Why isn't Twilight like Tyler being like, I'll just read New Moon and Eclipse and I'll figure it out. Because I know it's different, but like, some similarities are there.
I just think you'd reference it because it was, because remember in the Vampire Diaries universe, it is 2010. We are at the height of Twilight mania. You couldn't go into a Claire's Accessories without seeing Edward Cullen's face. Reference it.
Yeah.
I'm still in Twilight mania. I've just finished rewatching it with my mum. I'm currently on Eclipse in the books. So like, you know.
We haven't left it, but again, we are not the norm in this situation, because look at what we're doing right now. We're recording a Vampire yes. Diaries podcast, so we cannot compare us to the wider world.
No. But like, it is so weird, because it also in season one, when like Damon and Caroline are, I hate to say the word dating, but dating, and he reads it and they do this like comparison of the vampires in the Twilight universe to the vampires in the Vampire Diaries universe. So I don't get why they never bring it up again, because they've done it before. So why? And it's just like so silly when they're like, oh, werewolves don't exist, like at the beginning of the season, to then just be like,
I get them not wanting to keep bringing it up, but then they should have never brought it up in the start of the thing. Like, it's just stupid.
Also, they do keep bringing it up in different ways. Like at the carnival, they brought up the Team Edward, Team Jacob t-shirts. Like, just don't bring it up at all in season two if that's what you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. But I also love Tyler being like really, really, really smug, being like, I've figured it out, Caroline. You're a werewolf. And he's like so happy with himself. Well, like, so proud.
I also love that she laughs. And he gets so furious.
I do think, and I don't want to come across as Tyler's number one stan, because I don't think he's a likable character. I just think he like is interesting. And I think particularly for the first few seasons, he brings something to the show. But like, what else is he to conclude? Because he doesn't know vampires are real.
Yeah. No, I knew. It's so fair. I just found it hilarious because he was so smug. And it's just like, God, you're so wrong.
Yeah. And yeah, she then reveals she's a vampire. This is in their like final kind of confrontation of the episode. And he's like, how? And she goes, it's a long story. I would not rest until I had that answer. And I'd be like, no, you must tell me.
Yeah.
How would you, if you were Caroline and you were trying to keep the secret from everyone else, how would you explain that Catherine turned you to a vampire? Like,
she'd be like, I was attacked in the woods and I woke up a vampire. You don't have to get into, because she doesn't, because Damon told her under no circumstances is she to reveal the truth about vampires to Tyler Lockwood, otherwise like he'll kill her, I think he maybe said, or like it was very threatening. She feels like she can't tell him the truth and she can't give him like the full details and like invite him into their like extra special club. So instead she just kind of blows past it and is like, there's no one else around. Just also quickly on the Tyler Caroline thing, I do understand he's going through something and, you know, it's very difficult, but he goes, I have no one else to tell this to, talking about like the supernatural stuff. And I'm like, Tyler, baby, you have a very loving mother who adores you and who would do anything for you. And I don't know why you're not telling your mum.
Also, he's already spoken to Jeremy about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think.
Good point.
Remember, he doesn't know anything else supernatural. So a big reason why Elena doesn't want to tell people, she's like, they'll be at risk because there's other vampires always around and they'll be at risk if they know. Tyler doesn't think there's any risk. So I don't understand why he thinks he can't tell his mom.
I think he just thinks they'll think he's crazy. But like, he could just prove he's super strong. He's done that. He's like ripped a thing off his locker. Like, yeah, that's a really good point. Also, I was thinking, this is what I was trying to remember, could you imagine how frustrated with me you'd be if I turned into a vampire and you were like, how did it happen? The length of my story.
I'd be here for days.
Long story would be like, yeah.
Oh my god. The thing is, I don't think of that bad when it's something that's like actually happened. It's like specifically
the OC.
I feel like it's TV related. Yeah. I mean we're all guilty with the Vampire Diaries.
We have a friend who's a much worse storyteller than you.
And when we see her, I do feel so like, oh thank God. Not to shade her. She's great, but
she's not gonna hear this. Okay, we can get on to the main bit of the episode.
Yeah.
So Elena's been kidnapped and she's in this old house.
Why is there a mansion that's abandoned?
There always is,
in my experience.
Like, guys, think of the parties we could throw if we had that abandoned mansion that we could just do up. Like the staircase. Oh. Think of our entrances. Think of fairy lights that we could do.
If you have an abandoned mansion that you're not doing anything with us, get in touch at Miss Mystic on Twitter. It's Mystic Pod on Twitter. Please.
We'll do a Vampire Diaries dinner party. It will be lovely.
Great.
You're all welcome. If you bring us the mansion.
Yeah.
The huge reveal for us, guys, is the vampires who have kidnapped Elena are British.
Is Trevor British?
No. Yes. Well, they're both doing British accents. I say loosely.
Yeah.
Trevor sounded like Rose. I think it's just because I know Rose is British. Trevor always couldn't work out.
Okay, Al, how do you feel about the accents?
I think it is trying. I don't think it's amazing.
I think they're so bad. And there's lots of British accents in this show, and I think they're all pretty fucking bad.
I also feel like they try and make, because I even feel like Rose's is like trying to be a slightly like put on posh. Yeah. I can't quite work it out, but it's bizarre.
The thing is, I think all the accents in this show are so bad. We've Googled it and we've been surprised when the actors are British. And I swear the actor who plays Rose is British, and it's really blown
Yeah.
my mind.
Oh, okay, I did a little bit of research before this episode. So both the actress that plays Rose and the actor that plays Trevor have dual citizenship of American and British. Now, I, particularly the actress that it played Rose, I watched an interview of her talking normally to try and work out what her accent is. Her natural accent is a very weird hybrid between American and British. She lived in America till she was like 14 and then lived in Britain for like a few years and then moved back. So she has a very like mixed accent. Now, Trevor is the crazy thing. This gentleman has apparently lived in like Sussex his entire life. And he sounds insane. And guys, we have some American listeners. If you think we sound like that, we really don't. We like 100% don't. I don't know what your ears are hearing. We don't sound like that. So I think the directors and the like producers of Vampire Diaries really make them play up this like crazy posh British accent.
Yeah, because there is an actor like coming soonish who's British, and it still blows my mind that they are British.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it when they appear, but like, my goodness.
Yeah, but Rose is 100% doing an accent. Like, that's not how she sounds normally. And it is not a good one.
So, but basically, they've kidnapped Elena, and we've realised they've been running for 500 years because Trevor let Catherine escape, or like, let Catherine get away, which is a big thing. And then they just talk for ages about this person called Elijah. They're terrified of him. He's coming. What does it mean? And Elena, I don't blame her, because I think I'd be doing the same. But she is relentless with the questions. She is literally.
Oh God, like, I can't tell me. I almost enjoy watching her get put in her place when she was like, "What do you want?" to Rose, and Rose was like, "Had said be quiet multiple times," and Elena goes again, "What do you want?" And Rose slaps her, and she's like, "For you to be quiet."
Honestly, she doesn't know appropriate fear. Like, if I had been kidnapped, I would be so scared. But because Elena's so special, it's Elena. Everyone needs her to stay alive. She's got very cocky about it.
She gets so cocky. Like, this is, I think I'd said this before, when like Stefan is on human blood and she knows that he will never like attack her. I think it's given her like a disproportionate level of fear of a vampire, because like, he freaks out at her multiple times and she doesn't react scared. And then it's just like, I do think when another vampire does it, though, when Elijah does appear, she is terrified. So I'm like, maybe there are times.
In the lead up to Elijah arriving, we get the big reveal that they're talking about the original vampires, and I got chills, goosebumps.
Oh, I love it. So good. They even mention the big guy's name. They say Klaus.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
and we kind of find out partly why Elena is special. They say she's the doppelganger, and that the curse of the sun and the moon is a sacrifice and she has to die.
So Trevor at one point refers to Elena as doppelicious.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh God. How do we feel about this?
I wrote, a crime. These writers should never work again.
Oh, God. Yeah, not good. Not good.
So bad.
It's awful. Genuinely, genuinely awful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sorry. Big reveal. I just had to throw that in because you said doppelganger. And I was like, doppelicious. Yeah, huge reveal. Elena's going to die, or needs to die, for this curse to happen.
And it really changes Elena. Like, we kind of known she's been special since we've seen, like, Catherine looks like her, but, like, not completely really. And it's kind of changed. I think it's completely actually changed the dynamic of the show. But Elena was a normal girl who got mixed up in the supernatural, to now it's like, very quickly, it's like, oh no, she's actually the most special little snowflake in the universe. And like, everyone wants her. And everyone needs her. And she's the doppelganger. And she's so important.
Yeah, it's kind of like her life. If people found out about her without Stefan even and Damon coming into Mystic Falls, this could have been her life anyway, being kidnapped by vampires. Actually, if anything, she's better protected. She's got more knowledge about what's happening.
And I think one good thing they've done is they haven't made that a coincidence, because the reason that Stefan went after her in the first place was because she looked like Catherine. So I think that is one good loop back they've done and gone like, okay, there is a reason. You know, if you look back at season one, you're like, oh, she's just become supernatural or become this kind of doppelganger. She always has been.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Elena's been like chatting to Rose and trying to get all the intel on the originals and what happens, and finds out that she needs to die, guess who arrives?
Oh, I think we should talk about Stefan and Damon's car trip before we move on.
Okay.
Sorry.
And maybe Bonnie and Jeremy.
Sorry, Al. So excited to talk about Elijah.
That's okay.
Sorry.
I really want to talk about him too. Yeah. I promise. We will.
We will talk about him. But yeah, just because it kind of like is the culmination of the episode. So do you want to... You pick, Alice. We've stopped you in your tracks. Do you want to talk about Jeremy and Bonnie or Damon and Stefan?
Let's do Jeremy and Bonnie, because then we can do Damon and Stefan leading up to Elijah.
That will make you happy.
Yes.
Okay. We have fucked ton of Jeremy and Bonnie scenes this episode. So, why am I cursed with more Bonnie Bennett, with more Jeremy Gilbert? This is not fair.
It feels really like they're leading into something. They have so many, like, starting the Jeremy and Bonnie scenes last episode, continuing them all this episode. They're not subtle.
I will say, before we even get to Jeremy and Bonnie, I did actually like, even though it's so supernatural, I love like the teen drama, like the first thing Jeremy thinks, because when he wakes up and Elena's bed's empty, the first thing he hears is like, oh, she and Stefan are back together and they're dating. Like, I know we've joked about it being like, oh, Elena's been kidnapped for the 100th time. It's still not the first thing they jump to when she doesn't come home. He's like, oh, can you at least like let me know if I have to cover for you with Jenna to Stefan at school? And like, I do quite like that, even though it's a like a supernatural town. They're not like, oh, there's danger at every corner. They're like, oh, it's just a teen romance.
I love any time they remember that it's a teen show. Like, I fucking loved that Bonnie Bennett was doing a spell in a classroom. And they were like, we've got 5 minutes before a class comes in. I loved it.
So silly. It's like, what's happening? That was a cool spell, though.
Yeah. So she does a spell to find where Elena is, because Elena is missing. And she's like, I can use Jeremy's blood. I swear they've done a locator spell before with like an object.
Like, it's always a hairbrush.
Which hairbrush, yes, it was a hairbrush, yeah.
They use a hairbrush later in this episode, but I swear they've used a hairbrush before for something like this, like hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Stefan gets all snippy that she can't be more specific. And Jeremy has the genius idea of using like Google Maps. I was like, what a plot line is this?
It's also such product placement again. He was like, we'll use aerial view and we'll map the location. It's like, so we don't
Alice,
care.
It wasn't Google Maps, it was Bing.
I'm so sorry. The product placement passed me by.
Exactly. Pour a drink out for our fallen hero. Bing.
Honestly. And Stefan's like, right, I'll go. And Damon just appears. Why is no one monitoring where Damon is in this high school?
He can just come and go. Like, oh no, but my high school, actually, I think it's more secure now, but while I was in high school, if you entered the building from like the second gate, you wouldn't pass a single checkpoint before walking into the unlocked girls' changing room.
Ooh,
isn't that
seriously?
Insane? Yeah, because the door to the changing room led outside. Yeah. So there's fucked up things in high schools.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I think they put a gate around the whole complex now. But yeah, it was a thing.
I would hope so.
That's good. Yeah. But then, so once Bonnie's done the locator spell, Jeremy has found that there is only one house in this whole vicinity, obviously, because otherwise, how would this episode go?
Bing would find a way. It's the best search engine.
How could I not trust Bing? But then Bonnie and Jeremy are on Jeremy's bed waiting for news of Elena, and Jeremy gets frustrated about waiting, so Bonnie has the idea that she could send a message for Elena to receive.
So fun.
It's a great spell. And then she was bleeding, she hid it before, but she was bleeding with the spell, the locator spell, at school, and we can see that magic is like really taking it out of her. And then after this spell, she doesn't know whether or not it works, and she collapses on Jeremy's bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even just bleeding. Yeah. She has the classic, I've used too much power, nosebleed. We love it. A staple. Works every time.
Works in Stranger Things, works in Vampire Diaries.
Fantastic Four 2004. They did it in that.
Do you know what else? Great link. This is my fun fact trivia. Did you notice anything about the songs, Catherine?
Was one in Pretty Little Liars.
So fun fact of my weekend, in the morning, I watched some season 3, Pretty Little Liars. In the evening, I watched some season 2, Vampire Diaries, for the pod. Same song, both episodes. So You're In My Veins is when like,
it's
Bonnie
such a
collapses.
Good song.
So good. That is the same song they use when Spencer and Toby have sex in season 3.
Wait, which time?
For the first time.
Okay, because my favourite... I'm not a Spencer and Toby girl. Sorry, welcome to Pretty Little Liars Corner. I'm not a Spencer and Toby girl, but I love the scene where she finds him again after thinking he's dead, and they have sex to Ride by Lana Del Rey. And that's one of my favourite scenes.
No, that was so fair. But I remember watching it and I was like, why is this song so stuck in my head? Because like the Pretty Little Liars soundtrack, it's not like that ingrained in me. And then in the evening, I watched it and I was like, oh my God. And then my boyfriend came in and I was like, the soundtrack. And he could not care less, to be completely honest.
Yeah,
but I was freaking out.
I care a lot, Ellie.
Thank you.
Even if he doesn't.
I loved the link. Also, just on the same day.
Magic.
I was watching both of them on the
same
day.
Yeah, that is a magic coincidence. Yeah.
It's also just a banging song.
What are the chances? With all the Pretty Little Lies you're watching and all the Vampire Diaries, pretty high.
Really fucking high, considering that's all I do. Oh,
love that. Also in Bonnie talking to Jeremy, we get like her talking about her family for the very first time, really, and talking about how the fact like her dad doesn't seem to be that involved in her life and she feels really alone. So I know we had Grams for a while, but again, we'd never see Bonnie's family. We see every other character's family. We never even see her house. Like, it's clearly the lesser treated of all the main characters.
I think actually there's nothing about her like feeling alone. I think they've written that in for her to relate to Jeremy because he feels alone. Like, I don't think there's ever a point of being like, oh, she's so lonely and like we're not going to show her family life. Like, I completely agree. I think she's lesser treated and they've just used this as an arc to be like, let's help them bond as two characters.
Because Bonnie's not really alone. Like, we see, I don't know, she's always like going off and staying with other people and like has her friends. She doesn't, like, yes, her parents don't seem involved in her life, which, let's go into it if you're going to like be bothered to actually do it rather than like an offhanded comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also exactly. For some people, like, they don't need, not saying this is like for Bonnie, but like some people don't need their parents to be involved and are very happy of making like their friends their family unit. Mm-hmm. And I do think they try to do it like this, and I think they get better like in between at different points. But like, you could argue that Caroline and Elena are like a family unit, or like Elena was definitely pre-vampires.
Yeah, I think they still are. They're just like going through a rough patch. Mm. On this, sorry, because we've already talked about Caroline. Don't you think it's so crazy that like she apparently doesn't care that Elena's kidnapped?
Yeah, they don't tell her at all. She's just busy with Tyler.
She's just going about her
completely different.
Yeah, she's going about her day. So I assume she doesn't know.
I assume she doesn't know.
Crazy.
Also, like, does Elena have her phone with her? Have they taken it off her? Like, she had her phone with her when she was kidnapped. Where is her phone? We know her car is still at the Lockwood mansion. But where is her phone?
That is a good point. Maybe she dropped it by her car and she was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Or they have it, but then I don't know how she gets it back. I'm going to go with my option one.
Yeah, I would really love one episode where she's kidnapped and they use Find My Friends instead of a witch
spell.
They
didn't have Find My Friends then, honey.
Yeah, but imagine if they did. Yeah. I'd love that. Being like, no, we don't need a Bennett witch. We just
Jeremy, stop slicing your hand open. We've got Find My Friends.
Although if it was Alice who's kidnapped, Alice's location is always turned off, so this would never help. We'd need a Bennett witch.
Girl, need to get my location back on.
I have my like location on for apps, but mine's not like, I'm not like permanently visible to someone.
I think I am for Find My Friends.
I think you probably are. I don't have a iPhone.
I had no idea, but apparently I'm not.
Anyway, so where are we going?
Stefan and Damon, I think we've spoken about.
Stefan and Damon, having to drive.
We're so close to the big moment.
they have to drive 300 miles, which seems very far to me.
Apparently it's only 3 hours. But yeah, so basically, sorry, we're going to get on, we'll talk about it in more detail. When Elijah appears and he's like, when you picked this location, which is a measly 3 hours from Mystic Falls. And that really stuck in my head because I was like, it is 300 miles. They're not doing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, surely not. The maths isn't mathing.
The maths isn't mathing.
No.
I'm pretty good at maths and those numbers don't add up to me.
Yeah. Just saying.
But in their 300 miles, I swear they said 300 miles, didn't they?
They did. They definitely did.
Yeah. In that drive, Stefan decides this is the opportunity to address the fact Damon's in love with his girlfriend, but also she's not his girlfriend at the moment, but we're still addressing it.
It's like, knowing how emotionally unhinged Damon is, it's a really stupid thing to do, don't you think?
I also think we all know it.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. It's not news to anyone.
But why do you want to talk about it at this precise point? That's what I mean. Like, I know that they know it, and I know like Kat's out of the bag and all of that, but like, you could just say one thing and Damon could be like, screw it, I don't care.
I also feel like Stefan really tries to kind of one-up him and rile his like jealousy by being like, oh, I drink human blood now, it's Elena's. Which feels like, in this scenario and in this vampire world, this feels like a very romantic or sensual thing to be doing. Like, intimate is the word I'm looking for. Intimate thing to be doing. So you can tell that Damon's a bit like, oh, about
it.
Let
me just, sorry. Ding, 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 ding. This is my retcon bell, because they've retconned something. They've decided to change what's happened before. Ding, ding, ding. All through season one, Stefan has said many, many times that he lived off animal blood for 145 years. Now, suddenly, out of nowhere, Damon makes reference to Stefan's Ripper past, which hasn't been mentioned before. So, ding, 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 they're retconning some things.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. I will get onto this in more detail, like, when it's more relevant. But, like, my God, do I hate... They recycle this so much of, like, Damon being like, you were so much fun when you were on human blood. He always, like, pushes Stefan to be on human blood. And then whenever Stefan is on human blood, he's like, oh, shit. Like, and he never seems to learn. Like, it's always Damon pushing Stefan when being like, oh, this was a really bad idea. It winds me up with the show because I'm just like, well, this is a used plot.
Did you also clock the name of the song that was playing when they were talking about drinking blood?
Was it called Blood?
Oh, I did.
It was called Blood by the editors.
Love it. Love it.
Love that. I mean, In Your Veins, they're all very, like, blood-related mm-hmm. ones.
Do you think they would dare to use Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo? Like, where would that be?
Oh, yeah. That would be...
Some sort of fight scene?
I think no. I think it's someone turning into a vampire for the first time and they're, like, staring at themselves or doing something really, like, destructive.
Or it's like someone I think it might be like an emotional or a backstabbing kill. Sorry, I was just thinking of the lyrics.
Yeah. I feel like it could be used when a certain someone burns their house down.
I also think it could be used for like a sibling drama.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're thinking of the same siblings.
I think so.
But there's more than
two.
Yeah,
I think we are. Yeah, I think absolutely, actually, yeah. Ooh. I think they would use it though, yeah.
Some spice.
Anyway, we can move on, Alice. Where do you want to take us?
So then, someone's at the door.
Who's at the door?
What is he dressed in?
It's Elijah! Oh, he's in a suit. He's fantastic. The moment has arrived.
Yeah. Not just any suit. He's in like a full black suit, like black shirt. Black suit, my God, I love this man.
10 out of 10.
He's amazing.
I actually think love his 11 out of 10.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm going for it.
As high as it can go. I love his entrance as well. And he's like, hello, Rosemary. And I know that's cliche and silly, but I enjoyed it anyway.
The way he says Katerina as well.
Oh, my God.
And he just makes himself at home, like he's holding court. It's like he goes to sit down in the drawing room and he's like, okay, Rose, fill me in. Like it's his house that she's just come to. I just love
An iconic entrance. The actor has such incredible presence, such an incredible awe. And like I've said this before, but he is the first time we see a vampire and they feel truly ancient. He has this aura of someone who is hundreds of years old and is so strong and so powerful and is just in complete command wherever he goes. Oh my God, I loved it. He also calls Mystic Falls the armpit of civilization, so he gets it.
He really
thank God
does.
Someone
honestly. Well, Elijah, and then we've got the thing that will come up again and again. Elijah, you're a man of honor. Mm-hmm. I want to
I love it.
And I think what's really interesting when they say that is they're really then careful with their words and all the words used, because he comes in and Rose is like, you've made your promise. And he was like, I will pardon you. And then Trevor is sort of asking for his forgiveness and he just literally smacks off his head.
That is an excellent murder scene. That whole scene of like, because you think, because Rose has been like, he's your worst enemy. And like before he like comes in, rushes to Elena, sniffs her neck like he's a real predator. Yeah. Also, I love that this is what you were saying, Catherine, of like he's centuries old. He can sell where the vervain is like straight away. Like he knows it's on her necklace. Mm-hmm. He like rips it off, compels her. Then he circles Trevor like a freaking shark and smacks off his head with like a slap.
It's so good.
Icon, legend, serving every second of every single day. Love him. My man.
You know, sorry, I will stop bringing this up. You know the thing you did for Pretty Little Liars, Catherine, where it's like slay every day. What a shame they have terrible handwriting.
So just to add context, me and Ellie were talking about Pretty Little Liars. This was for nothing. This wasn't for any kind of podcast. I made a tier ranking for the show. This is just for me and Ellie.
Oh my god, it was amazing. Can we do one for Vampire Diaries? Like slay every day, partial yes. slay.
Oh, it was a light slay, which I thought was really funny. That there'll be one pre-made, and I'll just change the names to what I think is funny.
But I want our ranking. Can what, we sorry? Make our ranking? I want our ranking of who we want.
Well, we could maybe do. Leave this with us. We'll deal with this.
Alice will also send you, if you haven't seen it already, we'll send you. Not that the characters will mean anything to you.
I'm still excited. But you never know. I might be prime and ready to do my Pretty Little Liars. I would say rewatch, but really it's just watch.
Oh, please join us.
But yeah, Elijah is a slay every second of every day.
Oh god, yeah.
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 Elena, I also, when he is like about to take Elena, I do think she like had a good play to be like, what about the moonstone? You want the moonstone?
Oh god. Honestly. That was smart. That was really quick thinking. Mm-hmm. But then he does just compel her.
Well, yeah. She has a necklace that is very easy to take off. And I will say, I'm not going to do my ding, ding, ding retcon bell, but we'll come back to this because Elijah looked at that necklace and just took it off her and had no recollection of it. So maybe a ding, ding, ding will be coming at some point soon. Well, not soon. Ages away.
That is an excellent fucking point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to take Elena away, and I love this, like the way that Damon and Stefan just like zoom around the house, like mm-hmm. it's so good. And Elijah, I do really love that they're somehow still able to throw Elijah, despite the fact that we know that Trevor and Rose are terrified of him. We've seen the way he's just killed Trevor. We see his power, and they're still able to like confuse him. He goes up the stairs. They take Rose. They take Elena out the room, mm-hmm. and he's just like there by himself.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, and he gets staked.
Yeah,
he gets grenade bomb. Yeah.
But I think it's also interesting as well. I think they do this really well where they're like, oh, it was this really big, scary guy. And Damon and Stefan, aren't they mate, like the heroes of the day? They're able to kill him. Oh, wait.
No. He's not dead.
That bit at the end is so good. He also looks so pissed off. He's just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
That's it. Like, you are right. Like, had he not come back to life, he would have seemed like a really nothing threat. Like, what's the point of it? But then there's something like, we as the viewer, Damon and Stefan, the gang at Mystic Falls, have no idea, is that these vampires that are linked to the originals cannot be killed the way a normal one can be. And that's such a shocking reveal, and he's still out there, and he now knows about Elena.
Yeah, and like already he did seem quite daunting when they came down with that bullet, and like he was still coming, and Damon had to get that like really massive like coat, a hanger type thing to stab him, and then even then it's like that's not enough.
I also think they did this scene, and I think we said it in a couple of episodes ago, about how even Elena and Stefan's breakup was all about Damon, and this rescue again is all about Elena and Damon, because she sees Damon at the bottom of the stairs and goes running, and Stefan swoops in and they have this kind of like hug, but all you see is Elena staring at Damon being like thank you,
and Damon being disappointed that he's not getting the hug.
And I think that links very well into like one of the pinnacle scenes, is that you have this scene between Damon and Elena where Damon is returning Elena's necklace and he essentially confesses his feelings for her. But we can talk about the actual scene, but one thing I really noticed was the necklace has always been a representation of Stefan and Elena's relationship. Stefan gave it to Elena to protect her from Damon, actually, but he gave it to her, and that represented them. By Damon giving it back to her, they're kind of inserting Damon into that whole thing and that symbol. And it just really shows to me that I just feel like one of the writers, Julie Plec in particular, she makes no hiding of it, is that she really, really loves Damon and Elena, and she really writes that way. So it's the way they kind of even make, at this point they're still our main couple, but we're still like forcing Damon like into their relationship.
With this scene, I don't really get why, and maybe I'm just being really stupid about this whole thing, but I don't really get why Damon makes Elena forget, because I think it's the one time he's doing something good and he's like, oh, I'm not good, but he's just like, my brother deserves you. I don't, because Elena, like you say, the cat's out the bag. Elena knows he loves her. It's not a secret. She still is choosing Stefan. and she still would rather be with Stefan. So Damon being like, actually, yeah, my brother is the better one.
I think in his own way, it's about him letting, I hate saying it this way because she's not a thing, but letting Stefan have Elena. So it's not about what the scene actually is Damon being like, I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to let you go. And Stefan deserves you. He's a better person. But before I do that, I have to say this and I have to get it off my chest. But it's better for your relationship with Stefan if you don't hear it. And I think that's like what he's thinking.
Yeah, I guess there is a difference between knowing it, because I think Elena definitely knows it, and Damon actually saying it, because I guess that puts pressure on, that makes it a thing, whereas at the moment it's unsaid, so it can kind of be.
Is it unsaid he kissed what he thought was Elena?
Like,
he's
kissed
love Catherine
you,
thinking as, yeah.
This is I love you, this
but then
is more.
Isabel's been like, Damon's in love with Elena in front of Damon, Elena and Stefan, and no one's denied it.
Well, yes, but... Yeah. They didn't say it. You know what I mean? Yes, they all knew. Everyone knows. Carol probably knows.
Jenna knows. Jenna. Everyone freaking knows. Rick knows. Like, this is where I'm a bit like, him saying, I get it. And I do quite like the scene, but I think that's because I'm also partially like, I'm definitely more Stelena this rewatch, but I have always been a Stelena
girl.
Person. So I think that,
It's also on the back of, because prior to this, we had a scene where Stefan apologized to Damon for making him turn and was like, I'm so sorry I did this to you. I've never actually said sorry. Like, I took this choice from you. So it's kind of off the back of that. And I think it's partly as Damon is thinking, I've held this against Stefan for this long, like, and I am over it. So he's a better person. He should get the girl, even though the girl should be got by who the girl wants. It shouldn't be between them deciding amongst themselves. And for this moment, she's chosen.
Also, like, it's like the not the same level, but it's like the Tyler, Jeremy, Vicky. Like, Vicky never had any choice.
What dark times.
We can't go back there. Is there anything else?
Rose comes back to the Salvatore house and said she wants to help. And that's where we get our name drop of Klaus. So we know, oh my God, who is Klaus? He's someone important. He's leading the originals.
And it is quite interesting because it's like they all want to break the sun and the moon curse, but they'll do it all particularly for Klaus. Like, that's what like kind of what she says, and it's like, why?
Who Catherine's afraid, because she was running, we don't know why, but it like it's kind of implied she was running from like the originals and Klaus.
It's also quite nice that Rose is like, I knew Lexi, she said you were one of the good ones. Like, I do that they throw that in.
Yeah, that's a nice little...
I am obsessed with the underground vampire dating network. Get set up on dates.
Lexi tries to set up Rose.
Yeah.
I guess we don't know Rose that well. Would you set Rose and Stefan up?
No.
Lexi clearly thought so, but I personally wouldn't.
No.
I could see why maybe on paper, but I can imagine they then would in some ways they're quite similar. I feel like
we don't want to be on this too long and we want to wrap this up, but I just need to say Rose's hair is fucking hideous for hair talk.
Oh god, yeah,
they've not done her a
crime against humanity. And because I've only ever seen this actress in Vampire Diaries, because I watched an interview with her to try and work out what her accent is, she's stunning, she's so beautiful. And I honestly,
what's her hair like?
Gorgeous, normal hair, no weird flicky out bits. She looks like one of the Real Housewives.
Do you think they're trying to channel Alice Cullen? Because that's the only ever time I've seen a similar hairstyle.
But I do feel like she's quite a different character.
She is. Like, she's not similar to Alice in any way, except for the hair. And that's all I can think
of. Was that hair ever a thing in the noughties? I feel like it was quite a noughties thing, but it does feel like they're doing this too late for that to have still been in trend.
They did like the Justin Bieber hairstyle. I don't remember that ever being like
her. Hair always makes me think of Lisa Renner, one of the housewives. And that's all I think of when I see her hair. It's the same hair to me. It's awful.
That's the hair that one of they call them the noopsies in the OC. Just like basically like the housewives of the OC.
Any other thoughts on this app?
I'm just so happy we finally have Elijah.
Me too.
Yeah, I think good scene setting as well, as I think one of you both said, but for the next episode, because we know he's alive and wandering.
Oh my God. We've always said if we would do like a Vampire Diaries dinner party, Elijah and Carol are without doubt the two that we would always have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just excited that we can chat about both of them together. Well, how excited.
And now we're moving on to our favourite segment of the show, where stats, where we talk about how many kills each character does, how many times a character comes back to life, and all the relationships. So, my lovelies, what are we adding?
We've actually got a lot this episode. We've got 3 kills and 1 resurrection is what I've got down.
Okay, yeah, right. This is right. There is a little of debate here. So let's start with the kills.
Trevor kills whoever kidnapped Elena. We don't know his name.
Some guy.
Kidnapper. Some guy.
R.I.P. King.
Yes, exactly.
And then Elijah kills Trevor. R.I.P. King.
And then Damon kills Elijah. What a nice little...
This is great. Love it. Yes, that's absolute. So added to the board for the first time, Elijah and Trevor. Trevor's dead, so he's probably not going to rack up that many kills, but you know, we'll still put him on there anyway. I think he's going to be a heavy hitter. Now, Elijah has been... Are we counting this as a kill? He goes
great. I think... And he gets the veins. I think, and you can keep this section or whatever you want to do, but I just think knowing what happens with the originals, we kind of should.
I'm really torn because I agree with what Ellie says, and without doing spoilers, there's another also little bit that makes those different from this kill.
But I still... I get what you're saying, but what you're referring, we're really speaking around things, what you're referring to, their skin does go grey and they do look dead. It's the same. So I think it counts.
Also, we count it with the ring.
That's what I think.
Damon killed John. John came back to life. Damon killed Rick. Rick came back. Like, that's true. Damon killed Dizzle Damon. Damon killed Jeremy. Jeremy came back to life. Like, I think if we're counting the ring as a death and a resurrection, then we have to count the originals dying, coming back to life as a death and a resurrection.
I think I agree, and I think we should add it. I think my only concern with both of these, but the ring included, so I think we've already gone down this path, is that it might inflate our kill count when people know that they're going to kill someone, but they know they're going to come back to life.
Still a kill, though. Like,
shouldn't really, like...
I think it still counts.
It is, but it's less of like an intended kill.
But you can say that about Catherine killing Caroline. Yeah. Like, she knew that she was going to turn into a vampire. Like, you can say that. I would still count that as a kill. Like, she did technically kill Caroline.
Yeah. Let's add it.
Okay.
Because I think that's the only thing from my side is, like, that's the only reason why we have the resurrection bit is because of the ring, really. Like, so if we're not going to have the... Or we don't count it as a kill and we just count it as a resurrection. But sometimes it's unintended, like... Damon definitely didn't know about the ring. He didn't know about the ring with Rick, with John, or with Jeremy. And he didn't know about it with Elijah.
He didn't know Elijah would come back to life. I also think this particular situation where a vampire like Elijah gets killed this way actually doesn't come up that much. I don't think it does.
That's true.
So I think this one really does count.
We can always go with intention. Like, if we think, oh, they're only doing it because it's like, oh, they know they're going to come back to life, then we can maybe be like, doesn't count on the kill chart. But this one, Damon meant to kill Elijah.
I also think you are right, because I think the ones about turning into vampires, they often know they're going to turn them. And I do think those are like intention, even though they're coming back to life, because it's they intended to turn them. So, yeah.
I will say also... We're all in agreement, but intention doesn't have that much to do with it because Tyler didn't intend to kill that girl and she was on the job.
That's a good point.
But yeah, but on this, we're all agreed. Sorry, I want to wrap this up, so I will do some trivia really quickly. Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec really wanted Sarah Michelle Gellar to play Rose. And they offered her the role and they said
Buffy
herself. They said she was very appreciative but just said no. She was the only stunt casting we ever would have agreed to. So I'm desperate to know if she would have had a British accent or not.
I was thinking that. Did she say no because she was like, I've done the vampire thing?
Yeah, I think she just didn't want to deal with it. So David made a comment about road trip bonding. Apparently, the car that they use and like its two brothers are going on a road trip are a nod to Supernatural because they have the same car the guys in Supernatural drive. So that's lovely for them. This is the first time we see... I actually don't know how you say his name. Do you know the guy that plays Elijah, Daniel?
Oh, I don't know. He's New Zealand.
Yeah, what? Alice, I'll spell it for you. Tell me how you say it.
I can't remember his surname.
I'm going to spell it for you. Tell me how I say it. So it's G-I-L-L-I-E-S.
Okay. I'd say Gillies, but I might be wrong.
Gillies. Okay. This is the first time we see...
I could be completely wrong. Okay.
The first time we see Daniel Gillies as Elijah. He had been in Spider-Man 2, as we discovered, Ellie.
We freaked out.
He was also in Pride and Prejudice, the like Indian take on Pride and Prejudice.
What's crazy is I must have watched that because we watched it in English lessons at school.
I can't remember if he's Darcy or Wickham.
I think he'd be a Wickham. I don't know why.
Like a Wickham, right?
Yeah.
He also guest starred on an episode of True Blood, and he guest starred with an actress by the name of Ariel Kebble, aka Lexi. So they were in the same episode, like the same storyline in True Blood together.
That's cool.
That's fun.
We love it. And then the only other thing I wanted to say, it's like not even interesting, but Trent Ford, who played Trevor, I only have to mention it because he was in The West Wing and he was in multiple episodes of The West Wing, which is my favourite TV show. He played Jean-Paul, who was Zoe's terrible French boyfriend that we had to suffer through in season 4.
Oh.
I believe our first Vampire Diaries West Wing crossover, and trust me, I'm always looking for them.
We had our Vampire Diaries Pretty Little Liars one as well. Mm-hmm. No one else. We've done enough Pretty Little Liars. That doesn't matter. Oh, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. He was really bad in The West Wing. Not like bad acting, but like I really just didn't like
his character.
He had
a bad French accent. I think we could say that.
Given that he is a British man with a bad English accent.
Exactly.
Fair play.
I think he plays like a French prince or something. It's really stupid.
It's really bad, yeah. It is bad.
Anyway, let's leave that. This is the end of us.
This is the end of us. We've got to Elijah. We're done.
We're bowing out. No, it's not. You can find us online. Where can they find us?
You can find us
on Twitter. Oh, sorry.
You go out.
No, you go.
Oh my God.
You can find us on Instagram at Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
You can find us on Twitter at Miss Mystic Pod.
We will be back next week. New episodes every Wednesday. But in the meantime, what you have to do is you have to get out your phone and you have to go onto your podcast app of choice. And then you have to rate us 5 stars. Sorry, we don't make the rules.
And then you have to go back onto whatever app that you use for your music and you've got to download In Your Veins, the song. And then that's that.
Yep. Sorry, that's your day.
Yeah, there's a banger.
Them the rules. Mm-hmm.
Them the rules, but we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.